This is Party on the Peninsulas, your weekly update on the people and policies leading Michigan, with Michigan Democratic Party Chair Lavora Barnes.
Welcome back to Party on the Peninsulas. I'm Lavora Barnes. The word this week, unity. On Thursday, Democrats celebrated unity heading into the November election with an historic event, a massive fundraiser which brought together three great presidents, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden. Together, they represent 20 years of leadership that moved America forward. Each of them was elected with a strong majority of the popular vote, a stark contrast to the two Republican presidents from this era. Both George W. Bush and Donald Trump lost the popular vote, but won thanks to our nation's bizarre electoral college system. Democrats have won the popular vote for president in 7 of the last 8 elections, but lost the White House in 3 of the last 8 elections. The unity of the three presidents was also a reminder of the lack of Republican unity. Donald Trump is running without the support of much of his party's leadership. He does not have the endorsement of President Bush, nor does he have the support of any of the living former GOP vice presidents, Dan Quayle, Dick Cheney, and Mike Pence. Add to that the long list of more than 24 Trump cabinet members and White House staff who will not endorse him, with some actively opposing him. One of many reasons for that contrast is the philosophy behind the campaigns. Donald Trump is running to benefit Donald Trump. His two goals, 1, stay out of prison, and 2, make money for Donald Trump. His fundraising is all about him. A lot of it to cover his $100 million and growing personal legal bills. He has side hustles to make him wealthier, constantly hawking everything from sneakers to Bibles, with the profits going into his pocket. His Truth Social is likely his next business to go bankrupt, but his cult members are pushing the short-term stock price to ridiculous levels, which brings huge profits to Trump. Despite all that wealth, he won't pay his own legal bills. At the fundraising event Thursday, Presidents Biden, Obama, and Clinton had a different take on the presidency and why they served.
I love the job. I love the fact that on any day, whether things were good or bad, or whether there was some big item on the agenda or not, there was always something to do.
It's a unique opportunity to serve in a position where the decisions you make, the efforts you put in, can result on any given day in families across this country, and in some cases around the world, having a little more opportunity, a little more money in their pockets, a little bit cleaner air, kids going to schools that are a little bit better supplied. And you're really mindful of it throughout that process, that, man, what we're doing here counts. And that helps overcome whatever setbacks you have.
Oh, I got a chance as senior senator and then as a vice president to watch these two guys up close. And the thing that impressed me most about them was when it got to a tough decision, in every circumstance, made what they thought was the right decision, the right political decision. And one of the things that I came away from my experience with both of them was, is you have a chance to make things better for ordinary people, just ordinary people. Just breaking their neck, trying to figure out how to put 3 squares on the table, being able to have a little bit left over at the end of the month, a little bit left over, a little breathing room. And it matters. You see it in their eyes. You see it in people's, and you see what you're able to do with a little bit of luck and a whole lot of hard work and good people around.
The fundraiser was historic in that it raised more than $26 million in one night for not just the Biden campaign, but to support Democrats up and down the ticket. Trump has a fundraiser this week where he says he'll raise more money. Maybe he will. But we know one winner from the event will be Trump himself. He's staging the event at his Palm Beach club, and you can be sure he's collecting a hefty rental and catering fee for the night. More money to line his pocket. One of the commitments I had when I first became your party chair was to work in every county to earn every vote. This month, we will move closer to that goal with our first Michigan Rural Summit. It is being organized by the MDP's Rural Caucus. In a moment, we'll hear from Caucus Chair Mark Ludwig about the summit. But first, an update on some of the week's political and policy news from MDP's Dorian Tyus.
Michigan Democrats have now opened 7 one-campaign offices across Michigan. to coordinate efforts up and down the ballot for November. The latest office opening was this week in Grand Rapids. Plans call for opening and staffing 31 campaign offices in the state. Republicans have not opened any campaign offices or hired any staffers in Michigan, even though Michigan is considered a critical swing state for the presidential race and in the battle for control of Congress. Attorney General Dana Nessel has asked the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Texas to take stronger action against John Caldwell Spiller II after Spiller violated permanent robocall and telemarketing bans. Nessel filed alongside seven other state attorneys general represented on the original March 2023 judgment against Spiller for directing billions of illegal robocalls to people across the country. In 2019 alone, Spiller and his co-defendants bombarded Michigan consumers with more than 42 million robocalls, including more than 19 million calls to people whose numbers were on the Do Not Call registry. Nessel has filed her notice of intervention in DTE's latest rate case. DTE's application and testimony request an annual increase of more than $450 million, which, if approved, would take effect in January of 2025. With this latest filing, DTE is seeking to effectively raise its annual rates by more than $800 million in a period of 13 months. Nessel blasted the proposed increase, calling it, quote, absurd, in both the astounding dollars and obnoxious timing. DTE, she added, is following their usual playbook, incessant and oppressive rate hike requests not grounded in reality, but rather based on the financial aspirations of their corporate shareholders. Former Michigan Congressman Mike Rogers says he has effectively locked up the GOP nomination for U.S. Senate by getting the endorsement of fellow Floridian Donald Trump. Not so fast, say 25 Republican National Convention delegates and alternate. They've petitioned Trump to rescind his endorsement, saying the Republican Party has no place for elected leaders who serve special interests. Donald Trump is being called out for hypocrisy with his campaign appearance at the funeral of a New York City police officer. Critics noted that he did not attend services for Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, who died as a result of the January 6th insurrection, for which Trump has been indicted. Trump has also called for defunding the police, specifically defunding the FBI. Statistics from the FBI contradict Trump campaign claims of soaring crime in the United States. FBI statistics show a steep drop in crime across the country last year. It's a similar story across major cities, with violent crime down year over year in Chicago, New York, and Washington, D.C. Reported violent crime dropped 6% across the board when comparing the last 3 months of 2022 to the same period in 2023, the FBI reported. The reported drops were especially pronounced in the big cities that Trump often assails, many of which have Democratic mayors. Violent crime dropped by 11% in cities with populations of 1 million or more, according to FBI data, while murders dropped by 20%, rape was down 16%, and aggravated assault fell by 11%. Trump will visit Grand Rapids this week to amplify his false claims of massive crime coming from undocumented immigrants. A new study by the libertarian Cato Institute reports that undocumented and illegal immigrants have a lower conviction rate and are less likely to be convicted of homicide and other crimes overall compared to native-born Americans. Undocumented immigrants have a homicide conviction rate 14% below that of native-born Americans. Most of the data on crime and immigration status in the U.S. comes from the Texas Department of Public Safety, the only agency that keeps such detailed records. Texas has the nation's second highest population of undocumented immigrants after California. Links to these and other stories are on our website, partyonthepeninsulas.com. From Michigan Democratic Party headquarters in Lansing, I'm Dorian Tyus.
Joining the podcast this week is the chair of the MDP's Rural Caucus, Mark Ludwig. Mark was born and raised in Michigan. His youth was spent assisting his father during the early days of the environmental movement, studying Great Lakes water birds affected by industrial pollution. He settled in Allegan County, founding a small beef farm in Clyde Township in 2005 with his wife, Kim. Mark served on the Fennville Public School Board, Clyde Township Planning Commission, and currently serves on the Allegan Conservation District Board of Directors. He graduated from Michigan State with a degree in environmental issues and has a short course degree from UW-Madison in grass-based dairy. He discussed the Rural Caucus and how Democrats are working to earn the votes of rural Michigan with our Waltzorg.
Well, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on board and to talk about issues that Democrats don't talk about a whole lot, and that is rural issues. Tell me a little bit about the Rural Caucus. What's its focus?
We formed the Rural Caucus in 2017 for rather obvious reasons, because we basically got hammered out in the rural areas during the prior election. The purpose of the Rural Caucus really is to get the Michigan Democratic Party focusing on something besides Southeast Michigan. And unfortunately, that wasn't just a Michigan Democratic Party thing. Really, during the Obama years, we took our eye off the ball in rural America. And it shows. We lost hundreds, if not thousands, of seats of public officials across the country. And where our voter base basically dropped from roughly 40% to roughly 20% out in the countryside. And it really hurts us to this day. And I contrast that with Howard Dean's 50 straight strategy, which was really building well in rural America. And once that 50 state plan fell away, we really went backwards in rural America.
What I find ironic is the fact that probably the two biggest issues facing this country are really important in rural America, and Democrats are on the right side of it. And that's climate change and health care. Without the Affordable Care Act, you wouldn't have any hospitals in rural Michigan. And of course, climate change impacts every farmer out there.
Absolutely. And especially on the health care side, if you look at the survey data, roughly 60% of people living in rural America would like to have universal health care. Getting on to climate change, it's not only the farmer who, of course, is directly impacted because of what they do for a living, but just think about rural infrastructure. It does not tend to be as robust or as well repaired as suburban and urban infrastructure, and is really very subject to being damaged by big storm events, whether that's roads washing out, culverts washing out, elderly telephone poles snapping in high wind events. And of course, the resources have got to come from further away to address those problems. So we really, I agree with you 100%, Walt. We've got great issues to run on, but you got to get out there and you got to do it. You got to put in the legwork.
That's exactly the whole point of this summit. Having a summit in and of itself and saying nice things about rural Michigan won't get you a lot of votes. What does the Michigan Democratic Party have to do to earn those votes?
Well, the big thing is showing up and remembering that old adage that you've got two ears and one mouth for a reason. We need to listen more. We need to speak more respectfully about our rural neighbors. There's this rather tired adage that goes around, why do these people vote against their interests? If we're not out there asking for their vote, if we're not out there demonstrating concern for their issues, why would they vote for us? Particularly when there are social issues, which tend to be more important to certain groups in rural America, where we're not perceived to be a friendly party. And I think if we can get out there, if we can run more candidates, if we can provide the funding for more candidates, and if we can forthrightly talk about these issues, and frankly, the other thing we've got to do is we've got to start talking about how these our rural neighbors are taken for granted by the Republicans. I've run five out of the last six cycles. I've had a couple of Farm Bureau interviews to try to get endorsed. And in one of these interviews, I said to these fellas, I think the Republicans get you guys awfully cheap. And they all laughed, but it was one of those knowing laughs, as in, ha ha, yeah, you're right there, buddy. And I think if we point out to them that so many of these Republican lawmakers, not so much in Michigan, but around the country, won't do Medicaid expansion, and that's why these rural hospitals are in such dire straits, because they can't get paid, that they are not doing anything about climate change, which is impacting them, that these immigration policies, which so many Republicans pound the table about, are really negative for rural farmers who rely on that immigrant labor. There are just there are not a lot of native-born parents saying to their children, hey, I'd really like you to grow up to pick fruit. That'd be a great career for you. Or I'd really like you to grow up to milk cows or slaughter beef. All of these industries are heavily dominated by immigrant people. And we need to point out that not only do we want to have a more rational immigration system, but when we do something like we took care of the driver's license problem here in Michigan, the Democrats did. The Republicans wouldn't touch it for years. When we finally had the trifecta, we were able to allow foreign people to get driver's licenses. Now, some people will say, oh, you're facilitating illegal immigrants working in America. No, we're making sure that if somebody's behind the wheel tooling around in rural America, they've got a driver's license. So if they have an accident, they have insurance. They have what they need to handle those situations properly, because we all know that it's pretty hard to get around in the countryside if you're not driving.
One Michigan Democrat who seems to really get it when it comes to rural Michiganders is Senator Debbie Stabenow, who, among other things, chairs the Senate Agriculture Committee and has been the ranking Democrat on that committee for a long time. What is she doing right that other Democrats could emulate?
She listens and she acts. Michigan has the second most diverse agricultural base in America. The only people that beat us are California, and we have winter here, so I think that's fair. Debbie Stabenow got out there and made sure that crop insurance became available to specialty crop producers. And in an era of climate change where our farmers can literally have their entire season wiped out just by one bad frost, things like that are absolutely critical. And when virtually every farm family in the state is a Farm Bureau member, they all get that little Farm Bureau paper every 2 weeks. And when it says Debbie Stabenow goes to bat for your neighbors who grow fruit, they notice. I think we make the mistake of thinking that our rural neighbors aren't paying attention. They are. They are very much paying attention. And, you know, the reason Debbie Stabenow does so well with Farm Bureau is because she delivers the goods.
This rural summit is open to Democrats from across the state who are interested, who want to participate. How can they register, and what's the deadline?
We certainly welcome people from across Michigan, and in fact, we've reached out to other rural caucuses around our region to see if some of them would like to join us as well. You can find us on Facebook, and we have a website as well, and we'll go ahead and put that information in your notes today. Really, we welcome anybody with a sincere interest in seeing more Democrats elected. We are going to pretty much stick to this being a live event. We would welcome participants from across the state, and you don't even have to be from rural Michigan. One of the things we decided early on as the rural caucus is, you can decide if you're rural. We don't want to tell somebody they don't live in rural Michigan just because they happen to live on a dirt road in Washtenaw County instead of a dirt road in Iron County.
In addition, people could just Google Michigan Rural Caucus. We will put a link to it as well on our website, partyonthepeninsulas.com. Mark Ludwig, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast, and we look forward to seeing you at Shanty Creek in a few days.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Walt. We really appreciate it.
This week's Trump outrage is actually a group award to some of his Michigan MAGA acolytes. By now, you may have heard of the post on X, formerly Twitter, from State Representative Matt Maddock, husband of accused fraudulent elector Michelle Maddock. He posted a photo of a large group of people, most of them people of color, boarding buses at Metro Airport. He wrote, quote, happening right now. Three buses just loaded up with illegal invaders at Detroit Metro. Anyone have any idea where they're headed with their police escort? The first response to the post correctly noted that the illegal invaders were, in fact, university basketball teams arriving in town for the NCAA Sweet 16 Regional. Maddox's reply to her correction cemented his feet in the ooze of MAGA world. He wrote, quoting again, sure, commie, good talking point. The original post was reposted by the new chair of the Michigan MAGA party, Peter Hoekstra. So far, the posts are still online, with no apologies, sad, racist, disgusting. Before we close, a reminder that the Michigan Democratic Party's Rural Summit is an open event. If you want to attend, just head to our website, partyonthepeninsulas.com, and click on the link. Or you can Google Michigan Rural Summit. That's this week's report from your Michigan Democratic Party. I'm Lavora Barnes. Thank you for listening.
paid for by the Michigan Democratic Party, 606 Townsend, Lansing, Michigan, 48933.